I have never spoken in tongues like the Gentiles in today's reading. I may have been unintelligible sometimes, hopefully not this morning, but tongues, not so much. But I have had joy and praise burst from my lips. Not in church, of course, right? Oh my goodness. There are no rubrics in the prayer book that say, make a loud expression of joy right here. But at ball games, yeah, baby. When my goalie daughter caught the water polo ball and threw it all the way down the pool and our team scored, I am the one in the stands going, woohoo! Kelsey Herman, go, go, go! She did not like me to call her name out loud at games. That was our agreement. I could cheer but not call her name out loud, but sometimes the joy overtook me. And it burst from my lips. The spirit of joy, when it overcomes you, it can burst out. Like today's psalm, shout with joy, all you lands, let the rivers clap their hands. But the Gospel of John that we read seems quieter somehow. But it's the same spirit of joy, that your joy may be complete. Jesus says, could it be any bigger? The Gospel of John is written in a very particular style, with long sentences and repetitions. It presents Jesus in a studied kind of way. Clement of Alexandria, one of the earliest commentators, late second century, he referred to John's Gospel as a spiritual gospel. But when Jesus said the things he said, he was a person. He had a voice and energy and charisma and humor and suffering and joy, just like you and me. Now, I know what you're thinking because I'm probably thinking the same thing. Not really like me. I'm not God. But here's the good news in today's gospel. Listen to Jesus again. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I hear three words to overcome you: abide, joy, and love. And they're absolutely synonyms here. Jesus and the Father abide in each other, are one with each other, and so they abide in mutual love. And that is the completeness of joy. In today's gospel, it is into that joy that Jesus invites his disciples, us, to abide in his love in the same way. Jesus loves us wholly, purely, deeply, as the Father loves him. When we abide in that love, that is how our joy can be complete. So in this context, what do we mean by joy? It's really the same understanding that we have as abide. In the Greek, meno, abide, means to remain, to endure, a continuous, ongoing state. It's not a singular moment or an ephemeral experience. The glorious gift is that the very abiding is the joy, one and the same. And Christians throughout the centuries have dug into and deeply experienced this abiding. Like Saint Benedict, if you're reading Esther DeWall's book, Seeking God, this season, like many of us are, you'll see that one of the tenets of the Benedictine way of life was and is stability. Well, that doesn't sound like wild and crazy joy, but think about it. DeWall writes that stability, from the Latin word meaning to stand, means staying still, remaining firm, not necessarily in a geographic sense, but in the more fundamental sense of the interior holding for the long haul. Jesus gives us that gift, to stand on solid ground of our interior holding stable in his love, so that whatever we're facing, our core holds. We are always home, where he abides in us, and we in him, no matter where we are or what the circumstances. Now we, for our part, hold that space by abiding in the Lord in prayer and by loving one another. From that core place of love, we're all one there. That's our completeness of joy. Now, does that sound like maybe a lot of lovey-dovey baloney? I think it could. I look to the acclaimed preacher and pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber. She wrote, "But What of Joy?" It sadly never seems to be on the top of the list of what it means to be God's people. And it's definitely not what Christians are known for. Any guess on what is the top adjective used to describe Christians? Judgmental. I think maybe that's because human religion so easily becomes more about knowing right from wrong than knowing God. Well, we have all experienced that, and some in very hurtful, downright harmful ways. But folks will counter, Jesus does say, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So isn't that about knowing right and wrong? Not in this gospel. Again, listen to what Jesus says. He tells us exactly what his commandment is. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What did that mean for Peter and the circumcised believers who were with him in today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles? Well, the scripture says they were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They were astounded by the open bounty of the Spirit bursting forth for everyone, even the non-Jews, even the unclean. But Peter recognizes the oneness in the Spirit. He says, well, can anyone withhold the water of baptism from these people when the Spirit has already poured herself out? No. There is no withholding, not even for us. There's that joy again. Now, I tell you, it is dicey to preach about joy, because I know that every one of us carries scars. And I know that there are people sitting here today who carry heavy, heavy burdens. And I don't propose a pop theology that says, God makes it all good. It's not that easy. Some things are not good. And in today's world, and in our nation, whose hateful and unjust underbelly, our way of not loving one another is increasingly becoming our face. How do you authentically preach joy? How do we actually abide in the complete joy that Jesus is talking about? Well, I think we've all been around enough to know that joy is not the same thing as happiness. It's deeper. It has to do with recognizing something that's deep in our core. And it's not circumstantial. It is absolutely existential. Joy is the fundamental state of being God's children, the abiding in Jesus that makes us all one. It is something inside of us, responding to something inside of every other person, abounding in creation, that we are one in spirit, and God is transforming us to recognize that, to recognize the realness of this abiding, and then to live it out. Here we are in the Easter season, the season of resurrection, and we've been reading the Acts of the Apostles for 6 weeks now, and they've been on fire with the Spirit. They are one. They are abiding. And what that looks like is that they've been sharing all their possessions in a common purse. They're healing people in Jesus' name and calling out for repentance. They're talking back to the high priest himself. They're running after a chariot to explain the scripture to the Ethiopian. They're baptizing Gentiles and not censuring them for speaking in tongues out of turn. Resurrection has transformed them. It has filled their hearts. There's a joy that cannot be contained, and it expresses itself in going out into the world abiding in Jesus by recognizing him in everyone and sharing the good news. That stable wellspring within of abiding in Christ, it takes us out into the world to do the work of radical love. That work is the wellspring of joy. It may not be happy all the time, but that inner grounding is Christ's radical love, and it is the locus of our joy as Christians. In the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu's Book of Joy, it says, "What does our happiness have to do with addressing the suffering of the world? It is a virtuous cycle. The more we turn toward others, the more joy we experience. And the more joy we experience, the more we can bring to others. The goal is not just to create joy for ourselves, but to be a reservoir of joy, an oasis of peace, a pool of serenity that can ripple out to all those around you." Joy is the emotion of resurrection. It is our grounding. When we sense it deep in ourselves, when we listen for it, seek it, bathe in it, believe in it, that is when we are transformed, when we truly are resurrection people, when our joy is complete. Don't skim over these words in the gospel today. Jesus says to me and to you, to every one of us, "I chose you." Jesus chose you. Whether our circumstances right now in our lives are happy ones or whether we're in a difficult time in our lives, Jesus chose us and is in it with us. We abide in him and he in all of us. We are not alone. We are one. Let that joy bubble up in any language, in every language, or in the quiet grounding of your heart. Jesus loves us and abides in us, and we in him. And the midst of your happiest moments, or even on your worst day, may your joy be complete in Christ.